Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice having you here. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take and introduce yourselves, okay? Good. They said today, don't worry about the germs. So everybody wash your hands or something like that before you have some lunch. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It was nice to celebrate a day of thanks. Do you know what? This Cyber Monday and Black Friday or whatever they call it. Way too early. Singing Christmas songs. I think that's okay, actually. I think that's okay, because it reminds us of the celebration. Yeah, hit the road, Jack. If you haven't done so, there's places to sign up for the church Christmas dinner a week from Monday, or the Christmas luncheon, or the glory luncheon, or the poinsettias. Just lots of stuff. So there's a sign-up area after worship today. Nice full church. It's good that you're here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for smiling upon us and calling us into your kingdom, into your family. As we begin a season of Advent, help us to prepare our hearts for your coming again this Christmas and for your return to set the evils of the world right. So bless us this morning as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. Stir our hearts that our eyes might be opened and our hearts might be opened to you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a change in your bulletin. We're going to be singing Away in a Manger, number 277.
Thank you.
Please rise for the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior.
Amen.
Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways known and unknown that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God, and remember your promise to us. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and king of all creation, grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We're receiving new members at the second service, but we'll have the praise team lead us in O Come Little Children.
You have that on your insert, O Come Little Children, so I'd like you all to sing with us.
Carolyn, are you going to read for us, or do you want me to read it this morning?
Oh, second service. Oh, okay. Oh, today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. This lament comes from a people who have had their hopes shattered. The visions of a rebuilt Jerusalem and a renewed people of God, spoken in Isaiah 40 through 55, have not been realized. Instead, the people experience ruin, conflict, and famine. This lament calls God to account, to be the God who has brought deliverance in the past. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived. No eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf in our iniquities. Like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Today's psalm is Psalm 80. Please read where you see the bold print, and when you see the bold R, repeat the frame, "Let your face shine upon us and we shall be saved." Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim,
restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord, God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears, and you have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one who made us so strong for yourself.
And
let your face shine upon us,
and we shall be saved. So we will never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday in Advent is found in the 13th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 33rd verse. In today's reading, Jesus encourages his followers to look forward to the day when he returns to power and glory to end all suffering. Jesus is speaking, "Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Heard a story a while back, reminded me of you, Dale. Took place down in Sioux City, Iowa, and in a Methodist church. There was a church there that had a live nativity, and they would bring animals all over. Well, someone had a ewe, female sheep, and they were going on vacation, so they left it at the parsonage in the garage for the last week. Unbeknownst to the pastor and the rest of the church, this ewe was pregnant. And so they had to take care of it pretty carefully. They put hay around and kept them in the parsonage garage. Well, they had a big pageant, and it started at 7 o'clock, and so a parishioner came with the truck at 6 o'clock. And they found out after this sheep was there that she was pregnant, so they carefully lifted her up into the back of the truck. And pastor sat in the back and comforted this pregnant sheep. Well, it stopped at a red light, and the thing hopped out and started running down the road. And there were cars diving off and pulling over, and the pastor's back running. Finally, the sheep got tired and stopped, and the truck backed up, and everybody was out watching this spectacle. And they asked the pastor later on what he was thinking when he was chasing this pregnant sheep. And he says all that he could think of was that song from My Fair Lady that goes like, kick up a rumpus, but don't forget the compass. Get me to the church on time. And they arrived 2 minutes just before the big parade there. Well, this is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a time of preparation. And already with Black Friday and Small Saturday and Computer Monday or whatever they call this stuff, plus the lights that we got to put up and get out and get your trees and the parties that are going out there and the presents that we got to buy and wrap and the meals we got to and the arrangement, whether we're driving or people coming to our place. I mean, how can we get it all done? And it just reminds me of that song, kick up a rumpus, don't forget the compass, but get me to the church on time. You know, the season of Advent, a time of preparation, but it's about more than just getting ready for Christmas. Advent is the definitive announcement of what's going to happen in our future. Advent is the announcement of a time when Christ is going to return and establish his kingdom. Advent is a time of preparation for that final triumph over death and darkness. And so that's why the season of Advent begins with this passage from Mark chapter 13. Be on guard, be alert. You don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. That's what Jesus is telling us. Would you agree that most of us nowadays don't give much thought to Christ's return? Now, there are some people who make Christ's return their primary preoccupation. They put up signs on the highway. They write books describing the last elements of the signs that are supposed to come, and they call that the rapture. Just talking to Woody down at Malmo Market. He was down at the Holly Dazzle Gathering, the new thing. He said there were preachers on the corner shouting, repent, and you're going to hell unless you change your evil ways. He said it scared his kids so that they had to go another way. But since Christ warned us that no one knows the day or the time, and since Christmas, no one really knows when it's coming, and that's been happening over 2,000 years, we look at those who are obsessed with the end times as a little bit eccentric. Yet biblically, it's impossible for us to ignore this teaching. Basically, what this teaching says is that history has a direction, and one day Christ is going to return, and he's going to reign over all. And it's an amazing and a wonderful promise about the future, but the point is we are in God's hands, we who follow Jesus. We've got to take it seriously. We've got to be ready. We want to be prepared for his coming. And so we hear this lesson today. What can we do? With these words from our Lord today. What is it going to mean to us? So in this lesson, Christ paints a picture for us. A man's going away, puts his servants in charge, gives each an assigned task, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. And then he says to his disciples, he says to you and me today, therefore keep watch, because you don't know when the time is coming. And then notice his words. He says, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. Interesting. I've got a pastor friend who's about as creative as can be, and when he looked at this lesson, he is pretty much a biblical scholar. He looked at these four times: evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, and dawn. And he said there's something significant about each one of these in the Gospel of John. So let's look at the significance of evening. In the very next chapter of Mark, the Master says, "When it was evening, Jesus ate his very last meal with his disciples and tells them, 'One of you will betray me.'" That's evening, huh? Evening is a time of betrayal, according to Mark. What would it mean for you and me to betray Christ? Here we are in this time of waiting for Christ's return. Could it be a time of betrayal? For example, would it be a betrayal if during this Advent season we forgot totally about the deeper meanings of Christ's birth? I've got family and friends, and I see it all the time. Use Christmas to be an excuse to party, huh? To carouse. Sometimes overdrink. It's a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person that was ever born, I think, but we do it, and it's true. Many who celebrate Christ's birth have no real understanding of who he was or who he is. Betrayal comes in many forms. Might mean ignoring the needs of those around us. It may mean focusing all of our energies on the peripherals of this season, like Black Friday, or what's that, Computer Sunday? Computer, what is that? Anyway, I'm still not figuring out this computer business. But maybe betrayal's given into the rampant materialism of the season. I read somewhere that the amount of money that Americans spend on toys is bigger than the combined gross national product of 64 other countries in the world. Could be that kind of betrayal. When it was evening, Jesus ate his very last meal with his disciples and tells them, "One of you will betray me." That's evening, the time of betrayal. "Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight." What about midnight? Mark tells the story in chapter 14, the next chapter. Huh? Immediately after the Last Supper, they went to a place called Gethsemane in the Gospel of Mark. Remember what happened at Gethsemane? Jesus told his disciples to stay awake while he prayed. That was a time of agony for Jesus. Remember, he prayed, "Lord, if you can take this cup from my lips, please do, but not my will, but thy will be done." And twice during the time he's in prayer away from the disciples, he comes back. He tells them to keep watch, but when he comes back, they're sleeping. Simon Peter's sleeping. And Mark says they did not know what to say to him. No wonder they didn't know what to say. Master's pouring out his heart to God, and both times he finds them all deep asleep. A pastor friend of mine said instead of standing on the promise, they were sleeping on the premises. And the obvious question is, could that have been us? We are the Church of Jesus Christ. He's called us to make a difference in the world. Have we been sleeping on the job? One time a man went to the doctor and asked if the doctor could help him with his snoring. The man said, "As soon as I go to sleep, I begin to snore. It happens all the time. What can I do, doctor?" Doctor asked, "Does it bother your wife?" "Oh," the man said, "it disturbs the whole congregation." I just thought I'd throw that in there toward the end to see if you were asleep yourselves. We say of Santa, he knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. God knows whether we're sleeping as the body of Christ. I read a story about a church down in the cities that was celebrating their 100th anniversary. They had 90 members. That seems strange, doesn't it? Jesus told us to make disciples of all people. If this church had made even one disciple a year, it would certainly have more than 90 members. Actually, the story is worse than it seemed. 10 years ago, it had 140 members. What's it been doing, you know? Sleeping would be a generous description of that congregation. You see, Advent is a great time to invite a friend to worship with you. It's time to wake up. It's time to go about the calling that Christ has given us. So, in the evening, one betrayed him. At midnight, they were all asleep. Scriptures say, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows. We all know what happened when the rooster crows. We read about it in Mark 14. After the Last Supper, Jesus says to his disciples, you're going to fall away. And Peter says, no. If they all fall away, I won't fall away. And it's then that Christ says to Peter, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to disown me three times. But Peter insists emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, Lord. And what happens that night? He disowns him. And then he hears the rooster crow. And Mark says, and he broke down and wept. Have you ever wept because of something you've done that's been really stupid? I love the way we see the disciples with all their warts and shortcomings. We don't talk much about grace at Christmas time, but surely deserves to be talked about. Children are told at Christmas time that to be good because Santa Claus is coming to town. That doesn't do any harm, but they also need to know that God loves them whether they are bad or good. God will always love us, absolutely love us. That's the gospel. Jesus loves Simon Peter. And even though Peter wasn't perfect, just as you and I aren't perfect, God will always love us. When the time of testing came, he faltered and then he failed. But that didn't mean that Christ didn't love him and didn't mean that Christ couldn't use him. The crowing of the rooster is a time of grace. It's a time of recognizing that God will always love us. So the scripture tells us, therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. What a wonderful thing is the coming of dawn. Did you see the sunrise this morning with the reds and the clouds? It's about as beautiful as it can be. Mark 16 begins like this, and you've all heard this story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they could go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? When they got to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away, and going inside, they discovered a young man dressed in a white robe. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. 36 hours before this particular dawn, the world experienced the darkest hours in human history. The Son of God hung on a cross like a common criminal. But at dawn on Sunday, the women discovered that his tomb was empty. He'd risen, as he said he would. Have you noticed that when we celebrate Advent and Christmas, it's during the darkest days of the year? That's symbolic. Darkness is humanity's essential state. We live in a dark, broken world, but there's a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, the scripture says. It's the light of Jesus Christ. The evening of betrayal, the midnight of when the disciples slept, the crowing of the rooster and the grace it represents are all preparations for the dawn of the resurrection. They also represent our situation as we wait for Christ's return. This is an imperfect world. This is a broken world. We still live in a world of betrayal, a world in which the church on whom Christ rests is asleep, a world still depending on Christ's grace is our only hope. And we await the dawn, the return of Christ to dispel the darkness for all time, to get rid of the riots down in Missouri and the wars in the Mideast, the sickness of Ebola virus, and the pains of loneliness and heartache. We're waiting for Christ to come to set up his kingdom of love and peace and justice. And we celebrate Advent during the darkest time of the year. It's not a celebration of darkness, no, it's a celebration of a light that's going to come to overcome all darkness. It speaks of the day that is to come. That's what this Advent season is all about. One last story. As I was thinking about this sermon, the thought came to me was when we were missionaries in Southeast Asia, lived on the equator, was 90 every day, 90% humidity. I had an office in the house we were living in, sitting in my shorts, hot. My daughter was maybe 6 or 7 years old. She came to the door in my office and said, "Daddy, can we play?" And I said, "Sorry, honey, I got about an hour left to work on my sermon." And she says, when you get done and when you come to play, I'm going to give you a big, big hug. And so I turned back to my desk, and then I noticed I heard some rustling behind. She snuck up behind me and grabbed a hold of me and gave me a big bone-crushing hug. And I said, "I thought you were going to wait till I finished and we could play together." She says, as she looked up at me with her big blue eyes, "I just wanted you to know what you have to look forward to." Advent is a reminder of what we have to look forward to. Be on guard, says the Master. Be alert. You don't know when that time's going to come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. "Therefore, keep watch," Jesus says, "because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. But I say to you, I say to everyone, watch, watch." Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our praise team to lead us in Silent Night, and we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let's join together in praying that prayer. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Remembering the saints who have gone before us and giving thanks for God's blessing, we pray for the church, all in need, and God's good creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For your whole church, that it will continue to joyfully proclaim your love to the world, let us pray. For our care of creation, that we resist the temptations to use it wastefully and seek more opportunities for restoration and wise use, let us pray. For all nations of the world, that they will come to the knowledge that your peace brings plenty and your wisdom brings justice, let us pray. For our brothers and sisters in any need, that we tend to their wounds and hurts, bringing healing, hope, and comfort in your name. We especially remember in our prayers Darwin and Janine, Aline and Mark, Wally and Bev, Joyce, the Berries, Randy Zaratka, Mary and Steve, Dean and Linda, Ron and Carol, and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch. Be with them, Lord, and bring your love. Let us pray. For our congregation, that we do everything possible to bring joy and peace into our neighborhoods and communities, let us pray. Be with Dick Grip this week as we say goodbye to his partner, Mary. Comfort him and his family in their mourning. Be with Mark and Mary and Emily and Will as they join our congregation. Help this to be a good time for them, time of growth and a time of love. Be with those snowbirds who will pack their bags and travel. Keep them safe in your loving care. And as we travel through this season of Lent, of Advent, allow us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child and for your second coming, time when the darkness will be overcome. For the blessed gifts of the saintly lives, that they inspire the witness of all believers who live in your promises, let us pray. Receive our prayers and hopes, Good Shepherd, and bring us safely into all joy and peace through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
You'll find the words in your bulletin and in the answer.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Joy to the World.
Spread the joy. Thanks for worshiping with us.